Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is one more time. Wednesday night inspiration, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. With joy in my heart that God has allowed us one more time to come together to explore the Word of God, plain and simple. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you again. And before I get started, you know, we have to give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory, because it is by His strength that allows us to meet here. It is by His power and by His might. You know, there's nothing that we could do in and of ourselves without God. And we have to set our focus on that and realize it. God is in control. So before I begin tonight, I would like to say, first, in all my obedience to God, to His darling Son Jesus, to the sweet, sweet, sweet Holy Spirit that allows us to be and that administers the gifts and that talk to us and comfort us every step of the way in our lives. I want to thank each and every one of you who have taken time from your busy schedule to meet here one more time, Wednesday Night Inspiration, so that we can explore the Word of God, like I say, plain and simple. As always, you can decide to ask a question, make a comment, offer a prayer, ask for a prayer request of someone, give words of encouragement, or even expound on the word that went forward. As I always say, I don't know everything, and God may place something in your heart that you could add to the lesson that could help another brother or sister. So remember that if you have anything you would like to say or do, and like I always say, this is our Bible study hour. You could press the one on your button and I'll open up the mic and you could speak and everyone would be able to hear you. So tonight, we're going to go into our lesson. But before that, I just want to pray right now. So be prayerful with me as I pray and go before the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, God, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and we enter your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, I just want to take time to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, because, you know, some people didn't make it tonight. But you saw fit and you saw fit to let us be here again. And I just have to say thank you. I thank you, dear God, for each and every listener and each and every caller that called in and anyone that's listening on the internet. Lord, I don't know who all of the people are. I don't know the needs, and I don't know what they're searching for. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know what they're hoping to find, but you do. Holy Spirit, I pray that you give each person what they're looking for, the desires of their heart. Let your word not return void, dear God, and use me, your instrument. Heavenly Father, I decrease and let you increase, and I realize that it's not about me. It's all about you. Heavenly Father, we're going to go into the lesson with a spirit of expectancy and pray that that everything you wanted to accomplish will happen. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling Son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen and thank God. And before I put the music on, I want to give you the topic. The topic for tonight is God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And it's going to come from Proverbs, the 16th chapter and the 4th verse. So for those who have your Bibles, you could get your Bibles Those who's those who are writing down can write it down and read it later. But it is God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And right now I'm going to play a song, and I thought it was appropriate because the name of the record is God Has a Master Plan. And I thought it was appropriate for the lesson tonight because I said God has a purpose and a plan for your life. So after the music goes off, we're going to come and we're going to explore the word of God together. Thank you. Thank you. And that was God has a master plan. You know, I pray that each and every one of you realize that God made a master plan before the foundation of the world. And in his perfect plan, he had a purpose for each and everything that he created. Everything. And that includes you. You are unique. There are no two yous. And what God has for you to do, there's something that no one else can do. So as we listen to the lesson tonight, I pray that you understand that and try to allow the Holy Ghost to let you know what it is that God has for you to do. Because that's where our success is, our success in life on this earth. Because when this life is over and we meet Jesus in eternity, you know, everything is going to already be done. God's plan for our life is on this side because he knew we would have to live through trials and tribulation, hardships, heartbreaks, and all of that. So remember, God has a master plan, and it includes you. And our lesson tonight, as I said, was God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And it's coming from Hebrews 16:4. And that scripture reads, the Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. That is coming from the book of Proverbs, and that was writing by King Solomon. So, you know, I always do a background, and tonight I chose King Solomon to give you some information. First of all, I want you to know that Solomon is the third and the last king of Israel. You know, Israel had kings, but Solomon was the last king if you didn't, you know that information. And you see, he followed Saul, which was the first king, and then King David, which was his father. You see, he was the son of David and Bathsheba, the former wife of Uriah, the Hittite, whom David had killed to hide his adultery affair with Bathsheba. And he sent her husband on the battlefront so that he wouldn't return. You see, Solomon wrote the Songs of Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes, and much of the book of Proverbs. His authorship in Ecclesiastes is contested by some, but they say that the author was the only son of David to be king over Israel and not just Judah. So that's why we assume that the writer for Ecclesiastes is also Solomon. When Solomon was king, he reigned for 40 years. When Solomon ascended to the throne, he sought after God, and God gave him the opportunity to ask for whatever he wanted. Solomon humbly acknowledged his inability to rule well and unselfishly asked God for wisdom. He would need to rule the people justly. So God, in turn, gave him wisdom and much wealth besides. In fact, his riches and wisdom surpassed all the kings of the earth. God also gave him peace on all sides during his reign. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Many of them was foreigners who led him to public idolatry in his old age. What they're saying, Solomon had so many wives and plenty of them was foreigners, and they worship other gods. And, you know, it's amazing when the Bible tell you that, you know, God didn't like his children to get in relationships and marriages with people that was foreigners and didn't believe, excuse, the same thing that they believed. Because, you know, sometimes you could be in a relationship and that person can change your mind. That's why they always say, show me your company, and I could tell you where you might go. So that's why God didn't want him, and that's what happened to Solomon. If you research it and find out, in his old age, he started tampering with idol gods. You know, there are many lessons we can learn from the life of Solomon. First, when we seek God with our whole heart, you can believe it, he will be found. Second, those who honor God will be honored by him. If you want honor from God, you have to first honor God. Third, God will equip us to accomplish the task that he calls us to do if we rely on him. And fourth, our spiritual life is not a marathon. Our spiritual life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, we have to keep doing what we know what is right and what please God. You know, we don't supposed to turn around on the battlefield. And fifth, life apart from God will be meaningless, regardless of your education, your fulfilled goals, the greatest of pleasures, and the abundant of wealth. You see, if you read the book of Proverbs, when Solomon talked about all he had gained and all he had got, you know, Solomon say, you know, the more you got, the better you are, and the prestige you got, and the more you have, the better off you are. And Solomon say, I went out and I got it all. You know, I had more money, more wealth, more wives, more slaves, more animals, more everything. But if you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to hear Solomon say a lot of times that apart from God, all is vanity. And that's a little background on Solomon. I hope it helped. And we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Remember, it's Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for its purpose. And as the scripture said about the wicked and the evil, and I want you to know, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Yes, everything, even wickedness and evil, was created by God. So if God made everything and gave purpose to everything, then everything will ultimately serve him in the way that he had made it to serve him. You got that? When God made you, he made you with a purpose. And he created the purpose for you to fulfill. So if God did all of that, they saying that the scriptures say that he will ultimately be served the way that he intended to be served. We wonder that because of deep down, you know, we wonder, and deep down inside, I don't know about you, but you say God created evil, and they say that everything that God created was to glorify him. So how can God get glory from evil? Because, you know, God is good. But just the opposite of that is true. God is glorified in the punishment of evil. Follow me good. In the punishment of evil. Because remember, this is called justice. And we always say God is a just God. So even when God punish what is not right, he get glory, and he pray that everyone else can see it and understand that he's really in control in the things he don't like. You know, if there was no evil in the world, how could we know which is good? You see, grass was made for the purpose that grass serves. The clouds were made for the purpose that a cloud serves. Animals, scientific laws are all made for the purpose that they were made to serve. You see, like a flower. A flower was made to give off oxygen for us to breathe and live. That flower, even though it's beautiful and it's just there, it is passing on oxygen into the world, and that's how we breathe. You see, everything have a purpose. God made some big insects that they can eat the little insects. You know, everything have a purpose. God created the sun, which gave us daytime, and the moon for the nighttime. The sun give us warm. It warms us. Everything have a purpose. And it's amazing that mostly everything that God created for its purpose, they continue to do their purpose, except man. You never saw a donkey trying to fly. You know, they have their purpose and they operate in their purpose, the purpose they was created for. But we have a problem to understand our purpose. And somehow we believe that we are afforded the privilege to have it our own way. We decide to make things up as we go. God created everybody to worship him and to give him glory. And yet we hold back when we get ready. And we might even say it don't take all of that. And you see, because God is so loving and kind, you know, some people think he's asleep on the job. But there's a lot of scriptures that tell us when will God bring the wrath upon people. But if you really go in the Old Testament and you see some of the things that God did, you could remember when they were in the wilderness for the 40 years, the reason they was there because God wanted the whole generation to die out. The book of Numbers was created in the Bible so they could get the number of people that was there because God said, I promise you that number will not get to the promised land. See, that's punishment for evil, which is called justice. You see, God is a God of purpose, and nothing that he created was made without a purpose, and that includes you. The Bible teaches, and we believe, that you are here because God created you. If you believe in God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you have to believe that God is the creator. So if God is the creator, that means he created all things. Remember this, only God can create and man can only invent. So you might say, well, what you saying, Sister Diane? I'm saying when you create something, there's nothing there to start with. That's creating. And only God could create because he started and created everything from nothing. You see, to invent, which man does, he has to take things that God has already established and made and put in the rim. And he might take three or four things and put them together and make something else. But he didn't start from nothing. He took the things that God had already purposed and placed here. And then they invent. You know, God is the only creator. I don't know about you, but plenty of times I ask myself, why am I here? You see, this is a question that each one of us, I believe, has asked ourselves several times in our lives. And you may even say, what purpose did God have in mind when he decided to create you? Whatever purpose he had in mind is your purpose in life. Until you figure it out, you will be incredibly frustrated in life trying to be something that you weren't created to be. Think about the question for yourself. What is my purpose? Everything created has an origin in God, and God even now holds everything together for his purpose. You see, everything God created is necessary for this life here on this side. So that means you were created and is necessary for God's purpose in the world to function. That's why everybody should realize that what God has for you, he has for you, and what he's got for me, he has for me. And nobody can beat you being you. And whatever God has for you is equally as important as he has for everybody else. The preacher's purpose is important, but your purpose is equally important. Because God ordained it before the foundation of the world. And he knew that everybody and each purpose was necessary to make this world go. You know, there's an old saying, the whole world is a stage and everyone plays a part. It's almost like that because each one of us have a purpose. And when we're not in tune and in touch to our purpose, you know, some things could go undone. When God created us, he created us for his glory and to reflect his nature. You see, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Here we see that we should shine and do good works before men so that God can get the glory. Okay, you know, what have you done lately? What have you done for someone else lately? And remember what we always say, people will not read the Bible, but they will read you. Can you think of anything that you have given God glory with lately? Is it important that you try to fulfill and give him purpose in your life? You see, your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift to God. Have you thanked him for the gift of life that he's given you? And what you do with it, do you try to give him glory and a gift back to him for all that he has done? Giving God glory is a part of your purpose. When we gave in to sin, which rebelled against God, that's way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. That was rebellion against God. You see, when that happened, there was no glory. And you see, we all have sinned because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person has sinned. And so no longer can fully respect God's glory. And that's why God sent his son. You see, when Jesus took away the sins of the world, you know what God said? I can no longer see the sin when I see you. I can only see my son. See, sin had separated us from God. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, that's our purpose is to give God glory. You know, we thinking about the purpose. You know, they got the books out that, you know, find your purpose, tap into your potential, you know, the purpose-driven life, you know, all of these things about purpose. And we do have a specific gift purpose that God gave us for the body of Christ. But there's also common purposes like to give God praise, to give God honor, to reflect his nature. Those are common purposes once we became Christians and accept Christ. And there's another purpose, and they talk about the purposes in the books of the Bible, like preachers and teachers and deacons and you know, evangelists and all of these things that's a design purpose as well. But I just wanted you to know that there's a, you know, a common purpose that God expects all of us to do. You know, because I know that I've, you know, talked to people, and because they couldn't figure out their purpose, they just ain't did nothing. They haven't done nothing. They didn't try to do nothing, and they waiting for to know their purpose. But there are common purposes that we could been doing and being busy in the body, with the body of Christ. So I want to tell you this. Always start with what you know instead of trying to figure out what you don't know. You know, the Bible teaches us over and over and over again that everything is not for us to understand. You have to remember God is in control, and he does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. So how could you possibly understand the mind of God? Totally. We get revelations through the Holy Ghost. We get the Holy Ghost is constantly talking to us if we learn how to listen. But, you know, we're not going to know everything. So start with what you know instead of trying to figure out what you don't know all the time. You see, some of you may already know your special gift, talent, or service that God has designed for your life, while others are still searching. What I want you to know is just have faith and believe that God will lead you into your purpose. He's working on you now if you haven't figured it out. And if you have figured it out, keep doing what you're supposed to do. You see, if you have faith and just believe that God will lead you into your purpose, I guarantee you that one day you will look up and wonder, how did you get to where you are? Some of you, you know, when you started your Christian life, you know, whenever it was a long time ago, you know, we are constantly growing. And some of the places where we are right now, it amazes us. And we wonder, how did we get there? You have to remember, you are uniquely made, and there's only one you. Your purpose is uniquely designed and orchestrated by God himself for you. Examine yourself and see what God has put in you before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah 29:11 say, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." I want to let you know there are no formulas to knowing what your purpose is. Let's put first things first. You are created to know God. One purpose in life is to get closer and closer and closer to God. You can do this through your acceptance of Jesus Christ. You see, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and is justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and is saved. But you know what the Bible say? Once you know God, you must always, and I'm going to say that word again, always seek God first with everything you do. I guess I could tell you a little story right now. When I was going to a church, it was about 20 years ago, and if you really pay attention, some things happen at different times. It's almost like God is issuing out certain things at different times and different seasons for different reasons. Because I can remember being in a church, say, 30 years ago, you know, they didn't have all of the word explosion and Wednesday night Bible study and you know, all of the churches weren't performing Bible study on Wednesday nights or whatever day they chose, then all of a sudden the word got so important to everybody and God gave it to some and then it caught on and now, you know, everybody's going to Bible study and everybody, you know, is doing this. So at this particular church that I was, you know, like I say, about 20 years ago, they had a movement. Well, I ain't going to call it a movement, but it was newness. And it was all about knowing your purpose. And, you know, people were praying and they said they received their purpose. Well, you know, when things like that going on and everybody, if they found their purpose or they just was saying it, you know, how would you know? But everybody looked like they was getting their purpose and I sure wasn't getting mine. And I wouldn't try to fake it until I make it. So I was always questioning God, what should I do? You know, what should I do? And I did it so much till I was overwhelmed with trying to figure it out. So one day I said, you know what? I don't know what my purpose is. And I'm talking about like joining a ministry or being in a choir. Well, I knew I couldn't be in a choir because I can't sing. But, you know, joining a ministry or being on this board or doing whatever, you was trying to find your place. And I just couldn't get it. So one day I sat down and I was so frustrated and I didn't know why God wasn't answering me. And all of a sudden something said, well, Diane, what God already put in you? You know, because God is not creating us as the day come in. Everything that you have, Jeremiah told you, was there before the foundation of the world. The Old Testament teaches us in the book of Psalms 139 that God knows how many hairs on your head. The Bible teaches us that our days are numbered. So whatever God has for you to do is already there. He's not making it up in the 6th, 7th, 10th, 20th year. It's there. So I said, Diane, okay, I decided to see what I had in me. And one thing I knew I loved people. I knew that I know how to serve people. I knew that I was a servant. So when I say right here, examine yourself and see what God has put in you. All of y'all have attributes. All of y'all are full of everything that is necessary for your purpose. You know, like, I'll give another example. When Paul was crucifying the Christians, God saw his faithfulness and how diligent he was. And God had put this in Paul before the foundation of the world, but he wasn't using it to give God glory. But what he was using it for, he was doing the job well. So when God met Paul on the road to Damascus, and then Paul walked into his true purpose, he still had the same work ethics, and he still was committed the same. So those things are in you. Examine yourself. So what I did after I said, you know, I knew I loved people. I knew I was a servant. I knew I would serve people well. I knew this and I knew that. And it just said, well, be an usher. And I got all right. So 20 years ago, I became an usher. And today, I still usher. But in my ushering, and doing it with my whole heart and being committed, God opened other doors for you that you don't even think about, that you don't even know. But you see, God has to see what you're going to do, what he put in your hand. You know, he gets you ready for your purpose. He's training you and maturing you, you know, with where you are right now. So I didn't understand what my purpose was, but I knew what God had put in me. So that's why I say examine yourself. I became an usher, and 20 years later, I'm still ushering. But in the 20 years, God has done wonderful things in my life to direct me to what he wants of me. And as I said earlier, you'll look up and wonder how you got there. You'll look up and wonder how you got there. You see, but we have to seek God first. They say, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you, which also includes your purpose. You see, I kept seeking God because I didn't understand. And I was a little frustrated because everybody else seemed to have theirs. But I knew not to fake it till I make it. So I kept waiting. And then the Holy Ghost said, let's examine. Let's see what you have. Let's see what God has put in you. You see, we have to stop trying so hard to be everything you think you should be in Christ. I'm going to read that again because this is important. Stop trying so hard to be everything you think that you should be in Christ, and start allowing Christ to be all that he can be in you. Allow Christ to be all that. What he's trying to be is all that he can be in you. We don't allow Christ to be all that he can be in us. That's why we downtrodden. That's why we crack up. That's why we feel failure. Because the Bible teaches in Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures. What that mean? Christ being all that he could be. Have you ever tried to let the Holy Ghost to have his way? We say it, but do we cooperate? Do we participate? Or do we just say it every now and then because it sounds good? Allow Christ to be all that he can be in you. Don't concentrate more on a purpose and less on God. Simply walk in the Spirit and do the things that God has ordained Christians to do. You see, some of us can't find our purpose because we don't know the purpose, and yet the things we do know, we're not doing it. You see, Galatians 5:22 have the fruits of the Spirit, that if the Holy Ghost has brought in us, and it's the Holy Ghost's job to let all of them work in us. And for those who don't know, it's love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. Those things are in you. When you accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost came, lived in you. Are you working with the fruit of the Spirit? And God say he don't want us to say, well, I got patience and I got love and I'm working on this and that. The reason that particular 9 virtues of the fruit, and they don't say fruits, because it's God's intention that they all work together for your good. And remember this, God will make room for your purpose, and he will let your light shine. Your purpose is in you. Believe it. The Holy Ghost is constantly working in you to bring it out of you. But you have to be in position to receive it. And you have to do the work. You have to ask yourself, what have I done lately? You see, but it's not your will. Because God said before the foundation of the world, he gave you a purpose. You don't get to pick it. Not your will, but God's will. And I'm going to tell you this, timing is everything. Don't feel rushed. It is not your time. We are on God's time. The Bible says that God will make everything beautiful in its own time. And Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun. Your purpose is a time, and it's a season. Don't rush if you haven't got it, and if you got it, hold on to it with due diligence. We all have a common purpose. We can be very active in ministry even though we do not know what our purpose is. Simply act on what you do know. You may not know your specific purpose, but the Bible clearly gives Christians general and common instructions. All Christians have a common calling. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And what they commanded us to do is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is your common purpose. You know, we're not taking care of some of our common purpose to get to the main purpose. Check it out. This is some points I could give you for identifying your purpose. Number one, God is the one who placed it there by the Holy Ghost. So remember that. God has already designed it. God has already orchestrated, and he will allow it. But you got to be in position. You got to do the work. Number two, the power to achieve and perform it is because of the Holy Ghost that's working in you. Number three, evaluate yourself to discover your gift. Did you know that you had a gift, that you had a purpose, and that you could acknowledge that you don't know what it is, and then you could go and seek God for it? If you're not seeking it, if you didn't know that you had it, well, how can you? Number four, just do what you do. And do it. Whatever you're doing right now for God's glory, for the household of Theta, for your church, for his fellow mankind, whatever you're doing, do it well. And when God see that, that's when he can elevate you. Too often people try to place themselves in one or more offices and gifts. An episcopal. However, these are not all the offices and the gifts. In other words, everything that's listed is not all of the gifts and all of the purposes. Therefore, it would be important to follow the Spirit of God and not predetermine your calling by the limited list of services. You know, in the Bible, they say some are teachers, some are preachers, some are deacons. Some are evangelists, some of this or some of that. That's not the entire list. Because, you know, we was often taught if you're going to be the street sweeper, be the best street sweeper that you can be. So this, you know, don't limit yourself to any list of services. And finally, always be ready to meet a need. Don't never leave that out. There is still much that you can do, regardless of whether you know your purpose or not. Do you see any need around that you can fulfill or help fulfill? Does your church need ushers? Does your church need janitors? Does your church, you know, need more members in a choir stand? You might not feel that singing is your purpose, but you know, if there are need. You know, does your family need spiritual guidance? Come on now. And each and every one of us, if we've been walking with Christ for some amount of time, we should be able to have influence on somebody. Find a need and meet the need. Of course, it would be much better for you if you do something that you at least don't mind doing and enjoy doing. But I'm going to tell you this. But if you see a need and you do it, it might turn out that you just like it. And I'm going to close with this. Matthew 25:23 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Come on, y'all. And I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to just tell you this last little line. Be faithful in all that you're doing. And I guarantee you that God will do the rest. We have to really understand that we are not in control of ourselves. We're not in control of the world. We're not in control. We ain't even in control of our children. And how, you know, my children are grown now. And, you know, at some point you still wanted to tell them something. One day I had to tell myself, Diane, you can't even control yourself. How are you going to try to control somebody else? It's all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus that we are and that we are able and that we can do. Stop trying to be all that you could be in Christ. And please allow Christ to be all that he can be in you. Because that's where your success is. That's where your purpose is. And I pray that the lesson tonight helps someone. If there's someone that would like to make a comment about this or say anything about it, I would welcome your call. I have a caller with the phone open, and I hope it's not an area. Caller, your area code is 813, and your number is 992. I'm going to open the mic because your button is pressed. So if you'd like to make a comment, you could say it at this time.
Well, I thank you very much. My name is Matthew, and I am the host of Stickman Radio, and sponsored by our ministry, Road to Redemption Ministries. And I'm listening. I was listening to some of the things that you were saying, and I do have a couple questions. To be honest with you, ma'am, what caught my eye was the infamous God has a wonderful plan for your life. And so what, to be honest with you, what wanted me, what encouraged me to tune in was to, and I expected the typical Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, God's got a wonderful plan, you can have your best life now, so forth and so on, because if that was truly the case, then I think Jesus suffered for naught. And Paul, I mean, my goodness, he was shipwrecked 3 times. He was left for dead. He was imprisoned a majority of his life. And so I really, really stand against the prosperity, quote, gospel, because God's not all glorified because we drive a BMW. I think that he's all glorified that in our deepest and darkest and troublesome times, we look up and said, God, I don't understand this, but we trust you. So you had said something that that I didn't necessarily understand. So I'm hoping that you can, maybe I just misinterpreted it. You said to me that you said that we are supposed to know God. But, I mean, if you go over to 1 Corinthians 2:16, it certainly says, who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So do you think that that can be a very dangerous thing to encourage unbelievers to try to do? Because no one knows the thoughts of the Lord. No one knows his plan. And so how in the world can we know him?
Well, when the statement was made, just like I said, you know, we don't know the mind of God. That was also stated in the program tonight. And what I was talking about is understanding how God created and how he had a master plan for everything. And you know, when the scripture said of evil, that God even created evil, those things of God, we know his attributes. We know how he did, like I talked about how he decided to let the generation in the wilderness die off because of evil. We could see God and know, you know, God in that aspect. You know, that the Bible teaches us that God is a jealous God. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things in the Bible teaches us about God. Not that, you know, we could understand totally his mind. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God knows his plan for you, you know, and you know, plan to prosper you, you know, and things like that. We know what the, in the lesson when they said Adam and Eve sinned and that angered God. So we can know that God is angry with sin. And
well,
not so much that we're going to know him or his mind totally.
Okay, and, you know, I thank you for clarifying that, because one of the things that that I think the, or one of the biggest problems with American Christianity today is weak, half-hearted men that stand, or not even men, little boys that stand behind a wooden box and call themselves a preacher, but they have no no concept of who God is. So I would have to agree with what you say. I think that we can know his attributes and his deity, that he is a loving God. Yes, he loves
That's
us.
Right.
If anybody,
you know,
does. If anybody doesn't know that he loves us, I would direct them in the direction of, let's say, Calvary's cross. But he is also a just and a righteous God, and he will hold us accountable for everything that we do, sans repentance. And one of the things that that I do is we ask some really thought-provoking questions, but another thing that you had said that kind of caught me by surprise was you were going over the list of gifts like evangelism and preacher and stuff like that. And then you said, well, don't be – now I'm going to loosely paraphrase. So you said, don't be – don't stop yourself short there. If you're the best street sweeper, then be the best street sweeper. While although I agree with do anything that you do, whether you pick up trash or whether you're the a preacher, you do all things to the best of your ability. But there also is a scripture in Revelation that says don't add or remove from the, a word from this great book. So, again, my concern for and this is what I do at nighttime while I'm prepping for my next show, I go around and I wanna start mingling with Christian hosts and see what they're talking about, because there's so much hypocrisy in Christianity today. I'll be honest with you, you have most of these congregation members, I'm going to make a bold statement and say most of them. I know there's some that are truly searching and truly drawing near God, as it says in James. And so many people get that scripture mixed up. They want to say, well, God, you draw near to me, and then I'll draw near to you. And that's not what scripture says. Scripture clearly says the opposite. It says, you draw near to me, and then I will draw near to you. So
correct.
All these self-professed Christians, they want to walk inside of a big building with all you can drink coffee and all the kinds of fancy donuts and all this stuff that have nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they walk in with Bermuda shorts and a Tommy Bahama shirt and sandals. They put their feet up on the altar and they say, just tell me how blessed I'm going to be. Just tell me that everything is going to be okay. Now, don't preach to me that gloom and doom stuff, that hell stuff. I don't want to hear that. And then they turn around and they watch on these big screen TVs PowerPoint presentations about a God that they don't even know. And that's troubling.
That's right.
That makes my heart weep. So I guess my last question would be, and I'm sorry, I think you said your name was Diane. Is that correct?
That's correct. And what's your name again?
My name is Matthew.
Okay, Matthews.
Okay, and so Diane, my question would be, because we know in Matthew it speaks of the Great Commission, and that's exactly what it is. It's not the Great Suggestion. So my question would be, when was the last time that you shared the gospel with a complete stranger? Because Charles Spurgeon said it the best, and I quote it all the time. He said emphatically, If you have no desire for others to be soundly saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, then believe this, you are not saved yourself. And I believe that with my whole heart. Because how do we say that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but we can't even walk across the street and say good morning? That bothers
True.
Me. So.
True. I sure do.
Anyway.
Thank you, Matthews.
Oh, no,
and I
thank
pray
you,
that
Adeline.
You tune back. I pray. And where are you so I can find you? And
I
some
am
of the listeners may.
Oh, not a problem.
Wait,
I'm in Tampa. I'm in Tampa, Florida, and the link is blogtalkradio.com, Stickman Radio, all one word. And my show is called
Stickman Radio.
Yeah, and my show is called Skin Deep Theology, because it seems like Christianity is just merely skin deep now.
I agree.
All right. Well, God
and
bless you, ma'am, and thank you.
And I hope you tune in again every Wednesday at 8:30.
You got it.
And
you
I thank
it.
You for the insight. And like I always say, this is everybody who calls in. It's our Bible study. And if you have some insights or questions, I welcome them. I explain that I don't know everything. And that, you know, someone could have something that can enlighten and add to. And I welcome that. And thank you so much, Matthews. And I pray that you call back again.
Oh, no problem. And I welcome you onto our show anytime. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. All right, that caller was Matthews. If there anyone else would like to make a comment, add to, if they need prayer, if they would like to give words of encouragement, you can press your one button at this time. Since no one has pressed the button, it is now 9:33. I'm going to do a benediction prayer. And after that, since a lot of callers stay on the line for the music, I will start playing music. But if there's anyone who would like to say anything, make any comments, any concerns, if you know someone that needs prayer and you could give us their name and we could include them in the prayer, you could do so at this time. Just press the one button on your phone. Since we have no one that would like to speak at this time, we're going to go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for the lesson that went forth. I thank you, dear God, for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Lord, I pray that you bless every home that is represented here. Bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. And, Lord, I pray that you keep allowing us to be together on Wednesday night, that we can grow in the Word of God. Teach us, Holy Ghost. Give us illumination and revelation of the Word of God, that we could go forth and be boldly and do the common purpose that you have designed for us, is to share the gospel with someone else. Heavenly Father, I'm going to be so careful and honored to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything that you allow us to be and what you're going to create us and bring us to. And when we understand all that you want of us and we walk in it, that we're going to have success. Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Well, that's Wednesday night. Inspirational Bible study. Thank you for staying for the benediction prayer. I want you to know that God loves you and so do I. And I'll meet you back here next week, same time, same station. And I'll be looking forward to it with expectations. So I'm going to play a record. And those who love the music, you can stay on, and I just want you to be blessed in Jesus' name.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. You don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls that
you but God has been faithful.
Oh, God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
He promised he would never leave
me. My story.
My story proves that God can do me.
Deliverance
is my
no more shall the shackles condemn me. You don't know my story.
You just don't know.
For if you did, you would lift up your hand. So just let me tell you, my faith you may as well break out and dance.
I love this about God, because even though I'm not perfect, my deliverance. What I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Somebody needs to know my story.
It would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story.
My story.
And it's through my testimony.
Through my testimony.
That I overcome. Bringing me out. You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life and favor upon me.
God, thank you for your mercy.
God of mercy.
And you love me. Life and favor.
Life and favor upon me.
Oh, how wondrous.
Oh, how wondrous.
God is my story.
Life and favor upon me.
Can't imagine. Some people, they walked out on me and they gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God broke me out.
All the things I've done.
If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we take it up?
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
Here is my story.
Yeah,
my
story.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I wish.
caller that has pressed the button, so I'm going to take time and open a mic for the caller. That's 504-251-81. The mic is open, and you could speak at this time.
Hi, T. Diane. This is Troy.
Hi, Troy.
I was calling to say a personal thank you for doing the Bible studies for a person like me that doesn't know the Bible very well at all. I really appreciate the lessons that you give us. You are giving us the word and telling us the way that you, like we are supposed to interpret it, but you're also giving us the chance to interpret it the way, you know, the way that we can do it our best way. And
that's right. That's what it's all about.
Yes. So I want to say that the message that you gave last week about the procrastination, the spirit of procrastination, had it not been for you, I would have never associated that I would have never associated the spirit of procrastination with doing right by the Lord. I would have never associated those two things. So I wanted to send a personal thank you to you, because now when I listened to your teachings last week, and I thought that you were speaking personally to me. I didn't have to say that, but that's the way that I feel. So I want to tell you thank you. And I listened to what you said, and because of you and your teachings, I'm going to do my best not to be stuck in that spirit of procrastination, because that was me all over, T. Diane. So I just wanted to tell you thank you, and I love you, and, you know, just thank you. I'll be listening and learning every week.
And I thank you so much for calling. And we have to remember, just about everything that we do, it's either giving God glory or it is not, or we either working on our maturity in the things of God or we not. I mean, that's just it in a nutshell. Sometimes God wants you to be over there and you stuck over here, and what he have for you is over there. So everything that we have in our hand and everything that is put before us to do, we should do it well. You know, mm-hmm. God does not like a slothful spirit, you know. And so when we are doing our best, God can see it and know, okay, you know, I believe he looked down and said, okay, they got it. So let me take them to another level. Let me bless them another way. Because the end of the lesson tonight said that God said, if he see that you are faithful over a few things, he will make you faithful over many. So the faithfulness and a commitment is just, you know, I ain't going to say it's the simple things, but it's where we have to start. And then we grow in grace. And God said that he's going to work everything for his pleasure in you, but you got to do the work. You got to show up. You got to be faithful. You got to be, and I'm talking about faithful in the things that that's just a part of your life, whatever it is. You know, that's almost like always doing the best that you could be. And when you have done all that you can do, then you stand and you can see the salvation of God. So even simple things could be hindering our walk. And simple things can rob us of our blessing if we're not paying attention. Because the adversary, the devil, he's seeking like a roaring lion, seeing who he may devour. And if he could stick you in procrastination, that means if you're not going forward, then you either standing still, and if you don't watch it, you'll go backwards. So I think that's what I was trying to portray. And I thank you for your comment when you say it. You know, I give you, you know, it's almost like, you know, because I'm a plain and simple girl. I say, now, you know, this food for thought. You do whatever you do with it. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
I thank you. And I am so elated that you call, you know, every week, and I pray that God continue to strengthen you in the word of God and strengthen you to be all that he created for you to be, and that you will walk in your purpose, because that's where the success is. You know, Solomon had it all, and he said, you know, he asked the question, what is this all about? Plenty of times, you know, sometime in late in the midnight hour, and we sitting down and we looking at maybe what we have achieved and maybe what we have done and maybe where we had been and maybe where we going, but you still feel like something is missing. Mm-hmm. And that's what God wants us to attach to, so we can be full in this life. You see, because if you accept Christ, you're going to have eternal life, and there will be no trouble. There will be no second guessing. There will be no failures. But we have to live in this life until we are taken out of it. And that's what he's trying to provide for us, how to live in this system, this wicked system, this unfair system, this world that don't mean you no good. How can you be in the world and not of the world and have the joy that he has supplied to you by the Holy Ghost? Plenty of people walk around every day just trying to be happy, but happy only happens when something happens. You know, if you go to the mailbox and get a check for $5,000, you'll be happy. But if you go to the mailbox and you find a bill for $5,000 that you can't get from under, you know, you're not happy. But joy is when you could be all right no matter what the situation is. And you can only get that from God. So I really thank you, and I thank God for you, and I love you. And all of my nieces and nephews and family and friends and neighbors and enemies and foe. So you be blessed, and I pray you be back next week.
Okay.
Thank you,
thank
Troy.
You for your prayers, PC Diane. I love you too. Monica says she loves you too.
I love you too, Monica, and all the little girls and the big girls now. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? Anyone have any questions? Since I still have callers on the line, I'll just play another song, and if somebody would like to talk.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. You don't really understand it.
I think I played that.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. This, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley.
hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers! Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
I am the gospel, hear the thief.
Oh.
For that you won't be trusted.
You are the thief.
You are the thief.
By faith.
Out there.
God made you the head,
not the tail. I'm going to get mine.
I see I still have callers on the line, and we're going to go ahead and end the show tonight. I thank each and every one of you for calling in and pray that God be with you for this upcoming week and that he allows us to meet again on next week. You be blessed. See you next week. Thank you.